Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Let's start here. How can Jaden Daniels get better in year two than he was in year one? We just watched him have a rookie season, the likes of which nobody's really ever turned in before. It's hard to find flaws in his game. You'd be hard-pressed to find areas where he wasn't prolific. The numbers speak for themselves, right? The team went 12-5. He completed almost 70% of his passes, right at 69%, which is nice. 3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Obviously ran all over the place, was their leading rusher as a team this season. Had the best rookie rushing season of all time from the quarterback position. How does he get better next year? What can he do to improve? That's what we want to zone in on.
It's a hard question, honestly. So to me, one thing is out of his control, and we've talked about this a bunch, but it's maybe one more weapon, one more easy button, one more, you know, a guy that he can throw to on third down and 8 when everybody's covered, etc. That he's got no control over that. To me, this might be something that people disagree with. I'd actually like to see his completion percentage go down a hair. I want a couple throwaways. I want a couple. You know what? There's nothing here. I'm not going to dance around. I'm not going to take the 8-12-yard loss as I try to do something special or a run for zero. Instead, just say, you know what? This one ain't happening. They got the right defense called. They got us here. Let me, before it breaks down and turns into chaos, let me just chuck it away. So if he's at 67% instead of 70%, you know what I mean? Like
a few sacks lower.
A couple lower sacks, a couple less turnover risks. When you're talking about a fumble, we were pretty fortunate this year in terms of his fumbles and fumbles lost. To me, I think that's kind of that next bit of growth to say, you know what, this one's DOA. This play is not going anywhere. And I think that's a hard thing for a guy with that kind of talent, frankly, to learn, a guy with that kind of swag and confidence, where you go, I'm Jaden Daniels. That play ain't dead. What I do is I make the play that isn't there, I make the transcendent one. And there's still time to do that, but I think that's kind of a maturity thing, an experience thing, where I say, you know what, this they got the right thing called against us. I could scramble around and dance and do a whole bunch of different things with very little net result. Let me just fire this one out of bounds and we'll try again.
I'm glad you brought up the fumbles because it was amazing to me how infrequently he fumbled. You know, he fumbled 3 times in the first game of the season and just twice over the final 16 weeks. At the quarterback position, that's pretty astounding.
It's very astounding.
But yeah. You know what that comes from, I think, is he almost never got hit from the blind side, like standing in the pocket. You think about quarterbacks that fumble a lot. It's often guys that stand in the pocket and stay there, and they get hit as they're throwing or hit as they're, you know, surveying and looking the field over. He is, you know, padding. Got to go.
Yep.
And he's like out of the pocket. And most of the time, because of that, he's able to tuck the football, you know, as he's being tackled or he's getting grabbed from behind as he's falling forward or whatever. But even still, even by the standard of he's not a pocket passer who's just going to get crunched in the pocket all the time from his blind side, the only fumble twice in the last 16 games of the year.
Yeah, five for the season. I'll sign up for that sight unseen.
Hilarious.
And you add into that, by the way, some of the ball handling, where it's not just turn around, hand it off. It's part handoff into the gut, pull it back, the RPO kind of game. That's an underrated skill that a lot of guys have.
Absolutely.
Jalen Hurts is incredible at it. Griffin was so good at it when he was here. You know, again, handling in that way where you're trying to be deceptive, there's got to be some sleight of hand to it. He's really good at it.
So I've got a couple of things that I think he could do better. But I would start by saying, well, I'll play along with the question we're asking. I think his goal should not be to be better. His goal should be to not take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need him to be better. I mean, that's another question that could be fair to ask. Does he even need to be better? I thought he played well enough to get to the Super Bowl in the NFC Championship game. I didn't think he was a strength or dynamite or, you know, prolific or anything like that in that final game, but he was fine. He didn't cost them the game. He didn't do anything that was awful. The interception late was when the game was already lost and he was just trying to make something happen. I think if he plays at the exact same level next year with more talent around him, you could get to the Super Bowl. And so for me, the goal should actually be to avoid a regression.
That sophomore slump, yeah.
The C.J. Stroud second year where everything kind of got a little bit worse on his resume, his numbers. And some of it might have been that he wasn't on the same page with his coordinator or they've blown out Bobby Slowick. Some of it may have been the injuries around him. But the fact is, all of those things can happen. Your relationship in a building with a coach can change, right? Your elite players around you, like Nico Collins was out for several weeks. C.J. Stroud just had to deal with that. That's like if Terry McLaurin wasn't available to Jaden Daniels for a few weeks. You think he'd be a little worse? Probably so. Tank Dell got hurt, who's one of their explosive guys where they can move all over the place and get big plays out of in the slot. You think they'd be worse off if one of their better pass-catching weapons down the depth chart went down? I bet you they would. And so, to me, the goal should be just not taking a step back. With the film that's out there and coordinators game planning for you all offseason and finding all your tendencies, like when you pull the ball down and roll right, you still might throw it. When you pull the ball down and roll left, you're almost certainly going to run it. Like little things like that, that now are known tendencies, I think you've got to try to go back and self-scout and try to just change as many of those things that, where the book's out on you as possible, just to solidify where you were this year. Because it's a massive win to me if he is the exact same year next year.
I think that's a smart way to put it, right? Because if you add to your toolbox, you can now fight some of the tendencies, right? As you said, like a defensive coordinator who's really, really bright and they get paid to figure out how to stop you, studies all offseason and says, okay, for example, the one you picked on or grabbed, hey, if he rolls right, it's X. If he rolls left, it's Y. I mean, there were a couple times I know, like, for example, that I think it was against Atlanta when they had a play where he was rolling left and the whole world thought he was running it and he kind of threw across his body for a touchdown to Zacchaeus, or maybe it was Crowder in the end zone for a TD on one of those goal line plays. That was a smart tendency breaker, right, where nobody was expecting that. More of those things will go a long way. So maybe working on throwing while rolling to his left. So you add a little bit to be able to counter, but you're right, statistically – and in terms of the impact, these, you know, these unbelievable clutch plays, or the, you know, if you're within a score in the last handful of minutes, you feel like you're going to win. Don't change those things, but you still want to be adding to your toolkit because everyone else going up against you is as well.
I guess if I'm actually answering the question though, and I say where can Jaden Daniels be better, improve? What should he hone in on going into this coming year? The first thing I'm going to say, and I thought he got a lot better at this as the year went on, but there's just always room for growth. And this is going to be the number one thing I harp on with him for years and years to come. It's going to be leaving the pocket to reset to throw, not to run. Because that's where the huge plays are. When you leave the pocket and you scramble, you might get four, you might get six. And because he's electric and makes someone miss, maybe he gets 12 or 14. But if you reset before the line of scrimmage and throw, and the defenders are now sucked up to try to stop you, that's where you can get 20 or 30 or 50 in a touchdown. It happens around the league. Once every couple of weeks, you see it from the mobile playmaking quarterbacks. Early in the year, and I mean the first couple of weeks, it just wasn't a part of his game at all. As soon as he got flustered and left the pocket, eyes were down, he's taken off to run. By the middle of the season, I think that had been fixed. And we talked about this when they went back to Tampa, and you saw it a couple times in the playoff game. Week one, he's just taking off. Week 19, as it were, he's throwing. He's resetting, he's planting, he's surveying, he's finding a guy. He got so much better at that. I want that growth to continue. The more of that, like, if he's now at 50% of the time he resets and throws, let's turn that into 75%. Because to me, that's the secret sauce with the dual-threat quarterback. The other thing I'm going to say is, in the second half of the season, as they started to push the ball down the field a little bit more and just ask him to do more in the passing game, it felt like, he turned the ball over a little bit more. Not alarmingly so, ever. But as an example, in the final seven games of the regular season, he threw seven interceptions. In the first seven games of the regular season, he threw two interceptions. Mm-hmm. And I think if you even extrapolate that out to like the first 10 games, I think it was still two interceptions. But you saw it against the Falcons where he gets fooled. It happens. Young quarterback.
Sure, yeah.
But I do think that this, unless they get a lot more talented and, you know, it's a different makeup of their team, this operation is going to be as good as them not turning the ball over. Because when you're one of these ball-controlled, run the football, ideally I think they want to be a let's win 20 to 17 games kind of outfit, you can't throw two picks and win a lot of those games. Or, as it were, in the playoffs, you can't turn the ball over four times with three fumbles, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a Daniels issue. But that's one thing I would say, too. We didn't talk about a lot down the stretch, but there was that string of two picks against the Eagles, two against the Cowboys, one against the Titans, one against the Falcons. We didn't really see that early in the year. Not a big deal. In fact, I would even say expected, and he was amazing in that regard this year. But if we're talking about areas where he could improve next year, let's make sure that you nip that in the bud.
Yeah, it's all within the caveat of this was one of the best rookie seasons, if not the best of all time.
Yeah.
Like, so that's the baseline.
Oh,
so
we're
people,
picking nits.
Yeah, so people don't tune in. They go, they're just bashing Daniels. No, that's not the case.
Well, they'll say that anyway because we're not doing another segment where we talk about how he walks on water. And if you do anything with this fan base other than saying he's the greatest quarterback of all time and you wouldn't trade him for Patrick Mahomes, then you're a hater though. But yeah, I mean, I think adults can have a conversation about it's going to be tough to replicate this
sure.
year. So what kind of things, when he goes back to the drawing board, does he want to think about?
And so the final thing for me is, this was, again, not commonplace, but you saw it a few times in the last game against Philadelphia where it sounds funny to call someone that athletic, that quick, that strong, everything, lazy. So the lazy is not the right word, but the occasional feeder form or lazy where your guy's open and you're just flipping it to him instead of getting your feet swung around and you hit the running back. So it's not a low throw. So, you know, so Crowder's not digging it out of the dirt for one that's incomplete, or Zaccheaus isn't reaching down, or Eckler's not reaching down.
I didn't think that was an issue throughout the year.
It wasn't.
It was a major problem in the Eagles game, like recency, because I thought about saying that and I'm like, well, really, I don't remember that being a problem for this season.
Again, it wasn't one of the things I'd go, unless he fixes that, he ain't going anywhere. By no means the case.
But do you remember another game where like that many throws around the line of scrimmage?
Not that many, no. But there's you know, one or two per week. And that's what we're talking about here is,
like, to go from really good to the best in the league.
Yeah, to go to like, because that's his ceiling, is the bleeping MVP.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're talking about. Like, how do you win an MVP? You clean up two throws a game, you reset one time for one more big play, and, you know, get lucky in terms of touchdown passes.
I even think if he replicates his performance this season,
he'll be a contender.
And does it next year with the addition in talent that they're going to spike and have added to this roster. And now you're not surprising anyone. You come in, you were just the number one selling jersey in sports this past football season. Like, the narrative's behind you anyway, right? So he'll be in that mix.